Hello, everyone. You're on the Mike and Abe show, and we have it's the Mike, Abe, and Carolyn show today. We have Carolyn on the phone also.
Hi, guys. How you doing?
Okay.
Yes.
And
Carolyn, welcome aboard.
And this is actually a special edition of the Mike, Abe, and Carolyn show, because we're going to talk about the meeting at the City Hall Council tomorrow. Okay.
Monday morning.
And
yes.
Monday morning, which is tomorrow. We hope you listen to this before then, because we want all of you to be there. Okay.
Right.
Unfortunately, my plane is in the shop. All right, and I can't make it. But we hope Michael be there, even if he has to work through the night and crawl in with his eyes closed. Okay, because
that'll pretty much be the way it's going to work out.
Yeah, yeah. Well, there are five, and Carolyn says there are seven. I have five bills that are going to be introduced, and Carolyn says there's seven bills. Okay, she told me that before.
Right. Yeah, that's what I found on the City Council website.
Okay,
tomorrow.
Okay, and we'll go over all these bills. Okay, let you know what they are. Okay. And but we're asking that you all get there as early as possible, because word on the street is that the Lyft and Uber drivers are going to get there very early and try to shut the yellow taxi drivers out of this.
Yeah, what else is new?
Yeah.
If they are even real Uber and Lyft drivers, or just hired hands.
Well,
those guys aren't going to give us money to come down for
a
hearing.
Let me jump in here and interrupt, if I may. It's probably going to be a weird show, but everybody just jump in when they want to jump in. I guess it's going to be a free-for-all for the next hour. But I was going to say, the Uber and Lyft drivers should be on board with a lot of these bills, especially capping the Uber and Lyft cars, because these companies are just popping out new accounts for their drivers like gumdrops. So what started off as enough food to go around, enough pieces at the table for all their Uber and Lyft drivers, they've pretty much just been popping out extra phones for extra drivers. So the guy who was making, let's say, $1,000 a week 3 or 4 years ago, they're going out and maybe scraping around to get like $350, $400 a week, because all these other people have come in from all over the place. And they're even sneaking in from out of the state and upstate. So a lot of these drivers, like you guys are saying, there's a good chance they have a little team of ringers who come in for these events, paid ringers, I might add, who get paid to come to events. And the fact of the matter is that a driver with half a brain does want a cap on Uber and Lyft vehicles, because right now you can't even move in the city. And I was driving yesterday night on Saturday night, and it was great till about 8 or 9 o'clock, and then, shoom, this locust plague of little black cars come from out of the sky, tying up traffic, weaving all over the road, and it was almost like hitting a light switch. And I don't know what happened, if the surge kicked in, and they're all doing 5 miles an hour. And I think some of these guys intentionally block traffic on the streets and at LaGuardia to pump up the surge pricing and to block out the yellow cab drivers. So it is a complete mess. I think it's becoming a lot more sinister than it was as far as strategy to create traffic to increase surge pricing on the Uber and Lyft cars. So they have to start looking into some criminal aspects of this whole conspiracy, in my opinion. So that's my opinion. So if you guys are going to, gender non-specific, guys and gals going to go tomorrow to this meeting, you might want to start asking these Uber and Lyft drivers who they are and why are they fighting for something that could increase their earnings by about 40 or 50%. So go ahead.
Right. Go back to 2012 and you look at what people were earning then, everybody was making a living. Doug Shifter, a livery driver who was driving a luxury car, he was making $100,000 a year, okay? Mm-hmm. Nicanor Okisor, a yellow cab driver owner, who I know, and I know his friends, he was making a nice living going back to 2012. It's only since the Uber onslaught of unlimited vehicles that everybody is in trouble. And I think the Uber and the Lyft guys know this, because if you read their websites, you can see some of them are actually, of course, they're all for getting the extra cars off the road. And Lyft just came out with a new ad. They're going to guarantee $425 a week. So it's funny you mentioned that figure, $400, Mike, because that's what they're guaranteeing, $400 a week. That's $20,000 a year.
Well, if they do, let me jump in here. If they do, guarantee that kind of money, they're going to have to borrow it from somewhere. Okay.
Right.
Yeah.
Because they're not making it in this, out in the street. And if these city council bills pass, they certainly will be prohibited from doing it the way they've been doing it. And I just want to say this. I want to say one more thing. If they do cap the FHVs, okay, or the new category they're giving these cars, okay, this gives them value, those capped cars, okay? Just like it was the cap on the taxi cabs back in 1937 that put the medallion on the taxi and gave that value,
right?
Okay, so am I correct in saying that? Okay.
Right. How do you make something cheaper? You create more of it, and then the price goes down.
Right. So listen.
Let me just
go ahead.
I just want to ask one thing about that. What you said, A, with capping the Uber and Lyft cars. Now, when you cap anything, it creates sweat equity or some kind of value on that. So, are they talking about capping like day one more cars capping, or are they talking about rolling back by attrition with cars leaving? And there won't be any more cars added, because you have people in the business community who are not exactly heartbroken about selling thousands of cars to Uber or Lyft drivers. Let's put it that way.
Right. So, Carolyn, why don't Carolyn answer that question?
Right. As they say, those who feed the horses are the ones who make out, not the ones who own the horses. Yeah, I'm sure there's going to be a lot of objection from people who insure the cars or sell the cars tires or parts or repairs or whatever, but it's going to be good for the drivers. I think the way this cap bill, which is intro 144, is written, it's similar to the way it was written in 2015, only we're starting at a much higher number. So I don't know exactly what they're going to do with that, but there's different percentages that will be allowed up until April 30th, 2019, of increases. The bigger bases have smaller increases. The smaller bases can have bigger increases. But at least it's a starting point. And it's really a small part of the whole omnibus bill, we could call it.
Abe, with your permission, would Carolyn be able to rattle off real quick on express basis what each bill
well,
is?
Well, I have these bills. We have these bills in front of us on our computers, okay? So what I would like to do is take each bill one at a time and give a brief description of it and let Carolyn, who's deep-minded... Okay.
No, I've actually got the City Council website in front of me.
I have
to know everything.
I have put these bills on NYC Taxi News. Okay, you know, and I got them from the City Council website. I mean, I didn't make this up. Okay, I just copied and pasted them into a PDF form so make it easy reading. Okay.
Right.
So where should we start? I have intro 838, 854, 855, 856, and 144. Okay, now Carolyn.
Well, I'll sit on the sidelines, but just I'm begging the both of you, please don't bore us to death with the entire.
No, we're not going. I'm not going to read the entire thing. Okay. Well, some of them are very short reading, except for I think one. I think 838. Let me bring that up. 838 is a whole mess of pages, okay?
Well, let Carolyn do it. Carolyn's against.
Okay, let's do that one last then.
Do that one. You want
to? This is an easy one. Intro 634 is to waive licensing fees for accessible taxi cabs and for hire vehicles.
Okay, well, that's a good idea. In other words, if you have an accessible taxi, then you don't have to pay the medallion renewal.
Spelled out as $550 per year.
That would be the medallion renewal.
Yeah. I guess on the four-hire vehicles, it would be $275, I'm guessing.
Okay.
Well, why are they going to waive it for FHV vehicles if they aren't accessible?
If they're accessible.
Well, there's also
so it gives you an incentive to go in a wheelchair.
Hold on a minute. There's also the road use tax, okay, $1,000 a year. MBT.
That's not talking about that one. It specifically said $550 and the $275. Look, all this is a work in progress. Anything could change.
Yeah.
But that's what I think it is now. Okay, then there's 854.
Okay, let me
bring that up. That establishes a maximum number for hire vehicles affiliated with each base. So it's 1,000.
Okay,
so it's going to be 250, then they made it 1,000.
Okay, Okay, so let's talk about that for a minute, and the question is, how will that help the situation?
Well, how will it help the parking? If you have a base attaching a base for the 1,000 vehicles, these cars are all over the place. I mean, what about the community boards? You're going to have 1,000 vehicles attached to a base that have to show up and cruise around and drive and double park. And I mean, right now, each base, I think, I'm just curious, are they going to be by law supposed to get parking for their vehicles? Because right now it's a mishmash out there. I'm sorry to interrupt.
I don't know. Because let's face it, all these bases don't really exist in the cloud.
This is one short page. Let me just read it. It's not even a page. It's like a paragraph. Okay? A local law to amend the administrative code of the City of New York in relation to establishing a maximum number of for-hire vehicles affiliated with each base. Be it enacted by the council as follows. Section 1. Subdivision E of Section 19-511 of the Administrative Code of the City of New York is amended to read as follows. A licensed base station or black car base shall at all times have no fewer than 10 affiliated vehicles or black cars and no more than 1,000 affiliated vehicles or black cars, except that a base station for which a license was first issued prior to January 1988 and which at that time had fewer than 10 affiliated vehicles or a base station which has an affiliation with a wheelchair accessible vehicle may have as few as 5 affiliated vehicles, not including black cars and luxury limousines. Okay, so what that's saying is anyone that's been around since 1988, which eliminates the Ubers and the Lyfts and the Vias and etc., they could maintain what they've had in the beginning. Okay.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong.
Yeah.
Okay, this is how I'm interpreting this. Okay. Whereas, if any base comes on now, then they're subject to this. Has to have at least 10 vehicles, and no more than 1,000. Okay. Then section 2 here. That's when it takes effect. 180 days after. Okay. So, how do you interpret this, Carolyn?
Well, I'm assuming that Uber, Lyft, Via, and Juno will not be considered livery or black car bases anymore. I'm assuming they're going to be considered app-based services, app-based service cars, app-based service bases.
Okay, so then this part of the bill does not pertain to any of them. It just pertains to those that have been around, since the 1980s. Okay?
I'm not sure.
That's discriminatory. I mean, you have to have Uber and Lyft and Via and Shmia and whoever else out there. Their cars are driving around, and you can't punish the real base and reward with a phone driving around.
Right. I guess we have to go into the Bill 838 to see how they define the app-based service and what the rules are for the app-based service.
Well, that's a lot of pages there.
Yeah, I know.
Okay,
we'll have to say that one for last because it's the biggest.
All right. Okay. So that was 854 we just did. Or was
that
855?
That was 854. 855 is requiring half of all black cars to be accessible to persons with physical disabilities.
Right. So they're overriding the
TLC. By 2025.
Right. So they're overriding the TLC rule. Which they took to court and lost, not the TLC, the black cars, okay?
Yeah.
They took the car, they went, the TLC rule was asking for 25%,
mm-hmm.
and the black cars took it to court, and the judge threw it out, said, no, you have to go by the rule, okay?
Right. Mm-hmm.
And so now the city council is overriding the TLC's 25% and saying, no, we want 50%.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. You know, if the yellow taxis have 50%, they need to have 50%.
Yeah, I'd like to point out that as it stands now, how hard it would be to enforce. When you have a base like Avatar, which is the Uber livery base, it has, I think, 10 cars, and they do 57,000 trips in a week. So what do you do the 50% on? The 10 cars that are registered to the base, affiliated with the base?
Interesting.
Where's
the business? Where is this business? Because last night it was busy with the cab. I didn't have a chance to hop on and grab some accessible rides. But the accessible rides were coming into the Verifone system. I'm using the Verifone system now, which is a fantastic system in my new eye-opening discovery. And they're coming in, but, I mean, right now, where are the calls? I mean, we have all these people talking about this alleged onslaught of handicapped people that need rides. I don't see them. I don't see the calls coming in. I see maybe a few here and there. But we're just wondering, what's the chicken and what's the egg? Well, there's an outcry for handicapped vehicles. I don't see anybody. I don't see any cabs on the street loading people. I don't see a lot of calls coming in. So they make it seem like there's this nightmare, this tragedy of people waiting for rides who can't otherwise get a car or a cab. Where's the business? I know the money's coming in from the 30 cents per trip. I know that's rolling in, but I think it's a gross overreaction, and it's a political third rail to inject common sense into the for-profit aspect of transportation. God forbid we run a business in the middle of all this stuff. But if they're saying 50% of what would tantamount be 90,000 vehicles, that's 50,000 cars a day. These calls aren't coming in. There are not 50,000 calls per day that need wheelchair accessible vehicles. And the accessorite calls that come in, which are people who don't really need the physical wheelchair, to me, that's an outstanding way looking forward. Because you have someone who has a bad leg or visually impaired or a limp or something where they just can't get around normally, fine. But there's another aspect of a wheelchair accessible vehicle. I'd venture to say that there are thousands of drivers of these existing vehicles who cannot physically operate lifting and putting down and securing a wheelchair with a 200 or 300 pound passenger in that wheelchair. So physically disabled cab drivers can't operate.
Mike, you're right, but that's the yellow taxis, or let's just say the previous administration, right, agreed to have 50% of the yellow cabs accessible, whether they're needed or not, okay,
all right, needed or not, right? Why?
Right, okay. The man had nothing to do with
right. So I would think in the future, you know, we could raise the argument. Okay, you have half of us wheelchair accessible, and we want you to prove the need. Now that
no
you've done this,
zero,
now that you right,
zero
now that
advertising,
you,
zero promotion, zero nothing from.
Okay, Mike,
from
let me
taxes.
Finish. Okay, yeah. Don't walk on me.
Go ahead,
please. Okay, what I'm saying is, you know, this is the agreement they're trying to. Live up to, all right, and whether you know, we had very little to say about it, and I would believe in the future, you know, once it's proven that not all of these cars are needed for wheelchair accessibility, that some other arrangement has to be done, and that's for another day in the future, okay. But right now, the yellow taxis are committed. Okay, and obligated to make half of their fleet accessible, and in all fairness, they want all the other segments of the industry to be the same. Okay, mm-hmm. now if the black car bases and the Ubers and the Lyfts and the Vias and all of that want to go to court and fight that and win, let's say they win and they say, listen, we're proving here that this is not needed. Well, then in actuality, it would be a victory for the yellows because they could say, well, what about us? You know,
yeah, but then the judge would say, you're not similarly situated in that case, and we can do whatever we want to the yellow cab industry, which is basically what they've been saying.
But I think this is what their goal is right now, that whatever they could do to the yellow cab industry, they should be able to do to all the other segments, and vice versa. What the other segments can fight for should apply also to all segments.
That would be in a just world, Abe.
Yeah, well,
not in the one that we live
in. We want a just world. We want reality. Okay?
Reality.
You know, I don't want to own 50 cars that for wheelchair accessible when there's only three people out there with wheelchairs.
Right. Right.
Okay?
Here's another problem.
You can offer these people, I mean, whatever the price is, say, listen, I mean, you get maybe physical wheelchair rides of an actual wheelchair per week. The guy with a wheelchair van was telling me the other day, I said, how many calls do you get? He goes, I don't know, maybe like 3 or 4 a week. I was like, 3 or 4 a week? So all this rigmarole and fuss and mess and TIF charges and new cars, you're talking about 3 or 4 rides per week with someone who has invested $40,000 or $50,000, an extra $20,000 per vehicle to pick up, let's say, 200 rides per year, of which, okay, there's some money coming in on that, but it's such a gross overreaction. I mean, these wheelchair van cabs, if it was run right, if they had some ads on the TV, should be getting 3 or 4 calls a day, not a week. It's ridiculous. The TLC has done nothing.
Mike, you're right. You're right. Yeah. You're absolutely right. And this is something I believe that the industry should, all the industries should bring out in the light and say, let's get real here, okay?
Right.
How many people really need wheelchair accessible taxis? You know, and let's distribute that. Let's figure that number out, okay? And distribute that number equally amongst all segments of the industry. That's what should be done.
Yeah, well, that will be hard to do because there's 850 bases, black livery and luxury bases, on the TLC website, and only about 650, less than that actually, report trips. So we don't even know what the other 200 bases.
Well, perhaps.
But how are you going to keep track of it?
Well, that, you know, perhaps they've asked that question already, and part of the bills that they're going to propose, you know, deal with that. Okay, I believe that I believe they do. I think I've read somewhere that they want to, you know, all these cars should be trackable, just like the yellow taxis. Okay.
Yes, that would be a big help.
All right.
Then you would have good data on who's doing what and how many wheelchair cars they have and how many trips they did and all that. Yeah.
Yeah. Let me read number 856, okay?
Okay.
This has to do with licensing, okay? Licensing of black car bases and luxury limousine bases. A, in its review of an application to operate a new black car base or luxury limousine base or an application to relocate a black car base or limousine base, luxury limousine, the commission shall consider the possible adverse effect of such black car base or luxury limousine base on the quality of life in the vicinity of such base, including but not limited to traffic congestion, sidewalk congestion, the impact on parking availability, noise, and environment. And Mike, you asked about parking, and here they're dealing with it in the bill. Okay?
Right. Well, okay, good. Well, just jump, please. So, in essence, let's jump to Carolyn. Carolyn's like our college professor. Me and Abe are smart, but Carolyn's on another level. So, Carolyn, give us the essence, the nectar of this. She's very smart. Don't, Carolyn.
That's how I gained 20 pounds, sitting and reading nonsense.
Yeah. Well, so what does that mean? The nitty-gritty, the nitty-gritty.
You know what interests me about this? It says, These are new bills that I didn't know about until a few days ago, but it's talking about black car bases and luxury limousine bases.
Right.
I don't think the guys who are going to be working with the app-based service companies like Uber and Lyft come under this category, unless something has changed, which of course it might have, because I think they come under the app-based service rules, which is a completely new, different category.
Which is worse than anything that we've done before, because the bases, at least they have some parking availability for their drivers, just as a matter of business practice, as a courtesy for their customers. These app people are just running around willy-nilly. This is the problem. This
right, is there is no base, really.
Yeah, there is like an open-air free-for-all, and this is the problem. And I keep seeing these bills, the final bill versions, get watered down to the point where the app people just drift away out of the equation. So this is something I've noticed.
Well, we'll get into 838, and like all this stuff is also in 838, but I think it's separate.
Let me do the read here 144, which is sort of a revised version of the one they did in 2015, I think, right?
Right.
Okay. Be it enacted by the council as follows. Section 1, the Taxi and Limousine Commission shall only issue new for-hire vehicle licenses in accordance with this local law through the completion of study on the impact of growth in the taxi cab and for-hire vehicle industries. okay?
Oh, come on, that's funny.
It's not funny.
Study it?
Well, yeah. Well. If this thing passes, it says they have to. Okay.
Earth Day. We'll call it. We'll call it Earth Day.
Yeah.
As a celebration. I mean, you know, Carolyn, that's the one thing I've been saying all along is, with the Environmental Protection Agency and the celebration of Earth Day in New York City, the best way to save the planet and the best way to promote clean air in New York City is to have the Taxi Commission and Chairperson Nosy approve 90,000 Uber vehicles in 3 years.
Yes, I agree.
That's the best way to get the air clean.
Of course.
And when the cars are old, just throw them into the river, and that's good for the fish because the fish can eat.
Right, we can make reefs with the cars. No, but those cars are never going off the road, ever. They have no retirement date for these cars.
They
changed the rule a few years ago. There's no retirement date.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. Now, where are these rules? They're gone. The old city council is gone. Yeah.
Wait a minute. Okay, hold on a minute. Okay. If you watch the TLC meeting of this past week, they didn't come to work. Huh?
They didn't come to work. They didn't have a quorum. They couldn't vote on anything.
I know, but the meeting was short and sweet. Okay? And you can watch it on NYC Taxi News. Okay? They are going to make all vehicles 7 years before you have to retire them.
The yellow cabs will have to retire, but black cars will not.
Yeah, hold on. But 7 years is a long time for a taxi cab.
Yes, I know.
Okay, all right. And they want to reintroduce something that they stopped in 1996, I believe, and that is the ability to buy used cars for taxis.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay, which is great. Okay, because there were some really good used cars out there for half the price or a third of the price of what a new car costs that you could hack up and use for a few years. Okay, we in the 1970s and the 1980s, there was a guy named Ari Unger up in the Bronx who specialized in these cars. He would take used. You know, the police have to retire their cars also after so many times, and there's tons of police cars that are usable for taxi cabs. Okay,
right.
So I don't know where they'll get the used cars from this time around, but it brings back an industry to New York that had to, you know, go away once we had to buy only new cars. And
it points to a declining industry, and they're making a little accommodation for the industry that they're basically destroying.
Well, we could take some of these cars are Uber rentals that we can now we will now be able to buy and make into taxi cabs. Okay. You know, so there's a lot of cars available. There are a lot of cars available. You know, these Uber rentals.
Oh, boy, are there a lot of cars available.
Yeah, I know.
Some of those cars get turned over 3 and 4 times.
Yeah, the thing is this. If it passes inspection and if you spend $7,000 for a car instead of $25,000 for a car, okay?
No, I realize that. But if the industry was thriving, we wouldn't, need this. That's all I'm saying.
But look, I'm all for it, okay?
Given the present circumstances.
Yeah, right. I'm all for it.
Shouldn't have come to that.
For used cars being made into cabs, is that what you're saying?
Yes, like they used to do.
Well, okay. I tell you the truth. I don't know why everybody's trying to water down the yellow cab. We have to increase our branding and our presence and clean cars and quality drivers. I think the one thing with putting used cars into the yellow cab right now, we're forced to buy new cars. We need new cars. The problem arises, the new cars that we're forced to buy are cars that are very high maintenance, very difficult to operate. And basically, I'll tell you another thing with these handicapped vans. A lot of people don't want to ride as passengers who are not handicapped in handicapped vans. And then, ironically, Abe, when the TLC rejected your genius idea of putting the stickers for rates on the side of the cabs, Conversely, the Taxi Commission has a handicap van with a decal telling their 3 people per week that need a handicap van, that they have a huge handicap decal in the center of the hood of the van. And a lot of people look at that big handicap decal, and they don't think that's a regular cab. So that's another little decal.
Yeah, I've heard that. Yeah, from guys I know who drive wheelchair accessibles. Yeah.
Okay.
Right. But I think right now, just from what I know in the business for the yellow cab, maybe the top for coverage, it should be maybe like 2,000 yellow cabs per week with handicap accessible vehicles. And the judges need term limits. That's another thing I want to say. I rambled them off. Go ahead.
Oh, also, okay. there's another rule change that I think is pending that will allow more vehicle choice for the years that you don't have to be wheelchair accessible, which is a good thing. Mm-hmm. So you won't be relegated to the Nissan.
And the years that you don't have to be wheelchair accessible are not for mini fleets where one half of the fleet has to always be wheelchair accessible.
Why couldn't the other car be something else other than a Nissan?
That's true. Okay.
Yeah.
Last thing on that. How about this as a new way of looking at it? How about paying the drivers a lot of money to pick up wheelchair calls? Like, how about telling each cab driver, okay, you pick up a wheelchair call, you'll get $50. You'll get minimum $50 for accepting the call.
Okay,
it's over. It's over.
Well, they're looking to increase the number, the amount of
money. They always chisel the cabbies. I'm sick of them.
Okay.
I'm sick of them chiseling
Mike, we need you on the TLC Taxi Commission, okay? We need you to sitting up there next to Miss Nosey, as you say. Okay.
Miss Nosey, yes.
Okay. And letting her see. Yeah. Okay. All right.
Right.
Now, let me finish reading.
See.
Let me finish reading this thing. There's three couple of things, items here. Okay. All right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The commission shall only issue new for hire vehicle licenses. I read that part, I think. Oh, no. The commission shall only issue new for hire vehicle licenses if such vehicle will affiliate with a base station, black car base station, or luxury limousine base station that has not yet reached the maximum number of such newly licensed vehicles that may be affiliated with such a pursuant to this local law. Okay. If a base station, black car base station, or luxury limousine base station has 500 or more affiliated vehicles as of June 15th, 2018, such base may affiliate with up to the number of vehicles newly licensed pursuant to the section that is equal to 1% of the number of vehicles affiliated with the base as of June 15th, 2018. Anybody know what that means?
Yeah, the larger bases will be, this is similar to 2015, the large bases will be able to increase just a little bit, the smaller bases will be able to increase a little more, and then they'll see what they'll see.
Well, at this point in the game, none of these bases should be able to, they should all be decreasing.
Yeah, right.
Okay, forget about increasing.
Well,
right.
As a side effect of 838, which we haven't discussed yet, there may be some app drivers who say, you know what, I'm going back to my old base. Because I have been reading that on the uberpeople.net website.
What does that mean? Real quick for people coming into the show now, Carolyn, from the top. What did you just say? What does that mean?
Well, they're going to classify many of these cars as app-based service vehicles who work for an app-based service base and use the app-based service, which is Uber, Lyft, Via, and Juno. And they will have to pay a $2,000 fee per car per year. The driver owner of the car will have to pay that fee. Of course, this could change also. Who knows? That's how it's written at this moment. So some of those guys might say, I don't want to do that. Maybe they'll go back to their old black car base if they can. Or their old livery base.
Let me just say this to these drivers out there in Uber, Via, Lyft, Schmift, whatever land. That would put money in your pocket if you agree to paying $2,000 a year because you have the fly-by-night saying, I don't want to pay $2,000 a year.
Yeah.
Because those guys are probably the guys who go out to make like two or three jobs a night.
Right.
The person going out to make $40-$50 a day obviously doesn't want to pay $2,000 a year because that would be, their $40-$50 a week, and they're not going to do it. So that would thin the herd substantially.
Yeah.
And I think that's a good way to go because what they're doing, they're punishing the other full-time app drivers. I think right now, as a yellow cab driver, speaking as a yellow cab driver, if I may, I think the bottom line is, I know there's going to be other forms of transportation, but I'd rather see more of an emphasis being put on people who are full-time drivers. Okay, the full-time drivers who do this for a living should be rewarded. And right now, the full-time drivers who do this for a living, the professional drivers who do this for years for a living, are being punished. And that goes for everybody in the industry. And we also had our little friend We got a little, a couple of people, and one Beta V. Thank you very much for the demonstration, by the way. But the one thing I air with Beta V, she goes, everybody should be paid the same. It's like, wait a second. If somebody makes the effort to take a drug test, to buy a car, to lease a medallion, to buy a medallion, and do everything the right way, and be in business for 75 years, that person shouldn't be compensated the same as a person who runs around the corner and buys a car for $5,000. I think that's a big problem I have with this whole everybody should be paid the same routine. What everybody should be paid is at least the minimum wage, where we shouldn't have app drivers making less than minimum wage. And if they could enforce that, that would also go a long way towards getting some of these needless app cars off the street. So that's my two cents on that. So I'm sorry. Go ahead. So continue, but
okay.
I just want to say
$2,000 is not horrible. Just let me say, the way to enforce the minimum wage thing is to get rid of all the cars that you don't need. Okay?
Correct.
Right. Then everybody gets an immediate raise. Those
right, exactly. Away. Okay. All right. Where was I? Okay. If a base station, black car base station, or luxury limousine base station has 19 or more affiliated, has 19 or fewer affiliated vehicles as of June 15th, 2018, such base may affiliate with up to the number of vehicles newly licensed pursuant to the local law. So this is about how many cars they could have. Okay, basically.
Yeah.
For hire vehicle licenses existing on the effective date of this local law shall continue to be renewed pursuant to the rules of the commission. No provision on this local law shall be deemed to apply or affect an issuance or renewal of street hail livery vehicles or street hail livery base licenses, or to the issuance or renewal of new for hire vehicle licenses to which the street hail livery vehicles licenses are affiliated. Any comments on that?
No.
I guess it leaves the street hail liveries as is.
So you know how many street hail liveries there are on the street? About 3,000 on a daily basis.
Not many.
No. No. There was supposed to be 18,000. There's only 3,000.
I know.
Yeah.
Okay.
You're talking about green car street hail liveries.
Green car.
Green car street hail liveries. Actually, this is another thing with the handicap, the accessible ride stuff. The green cars are gobbling them up. I was talking to one guy. Now, here's the problem. Caroline, I'm sure you concur. When there's a problem in the business, everybody cries. When things start, when you get something good coming into the business, everybody keeps their mouth shut. They don't tell anybody else.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And right now, the green cars were crying, oh, my God, no business, I'm not getting another. And all of a sudden, now the accessoride, non-wheelchair accessoride calls are coming in. Now, Caroline, Abe, I'm sorry to what did you say, run you over or just the trip?
You're stepping on my feet, but go ahead.
I'm doing more than that, but there's a lady present, so I won't say that. Carolyn,
yes.
You would be the one to know. I see these white vans, accessoride, big white vans and these white cars running around. Now, don't the people who operate those vehicles, aren't they starting to get a little antsy about all this push to get basically their customers into yellow and green cabs?
And they're always being bad-mouthed that it's so expensive. And one city council member told me a month ago that when it was first started, it actually worked pretty well, and then they had privatized it. I don't really know the details of it, but he told me that something went wrong. You know, we wouldn't have all these problems now if that had worked correctly, the way it was supposed to.
Right. So it was originally started out as an MTA person was driving that white car.
I don't know. I don't know the details. But that's what I heard. And then they screwed it up.
What do those drivers make? I mean, just since we're all adults, what does that driver make driving that van or that car? I mean, is it commensurate with what the yellow and the black and the blue and the green car?
I don't know. I know they charge a lot more for the ride, but I don't know that the driver actually gets it. Maybe the operator, the person who owns the van. I don't know. I really don't know. Somebody should look into that.
We'll look into that because we're the only ones doing anything.
We're not the only ones doing anything, Mike. But we're doing.
It's hard to pierce the MTA veil. They're just drooling over the $400 million they think they're going to get from the poor cab drivers and IT drivers.
Mike, we're just playing the outfield here. Okay, there's a big team of people out there, and there's a lot of people doing a lot that we don't always hear about. Okay, now. One last section of this, okay? following the completion of study on the impact of growth in the taxicab and for-hire vehicle industries. The commission shall submit to the Speaker of the Council and the Mayor recommendations for mitigating any impacts identified, including but not limited to proposals to restrict the issuance of for-hire vehicle licenses and or base stations, black car base station, or luxury limousine base stations licenses. I interpret that as there's too many of them. Let's not allow them unless we absolutely know they're needed.
Right, right? But it's throwing the ball into
which
the TLC
aren't.
Court.
Yeah.
Into what court? TLC.
The TLC court.
Oh, in other words, they should decide.
Well, that they're supposed to recommend what's going to happen. I mean, shouldn't they have been doing that all along? Even if they say they don't have the power to limit.
Well,
shouldn't they have been shouting from the rooftops?
They should have been, yes, but here they're laying it out in black and white that now you have the power.
Yeah, true.
Okay.
Yeah,
in case you didn't, in case you thought you didn't have the power, let's say it as a matter of law that now you have the power and we would like you to use this power or else we're going to come after you and tell you that you're not using the power, you're fired.
Right, so this is in a year. There could be another 25,000 vehicles on the road in a year.
I can't imagine that, Carolyn, because when it reaches the point where like the water is flowing over the top of the cup, okay, you can't get any more water in there. All right?
Right.
You know, I mean, turn off the faucet, please. All right?
Yeah.
You know, and hopefully there's a drain underneath for the excess water to go down, right?
Well, there was a lot of, you should have seen last night, it was a swarm of the, and it almost looks like this weird funeral procession, because, you know, there's all these cars in black with the lights on going 2 miles an hour all over the city, and I'm saying to myself, and there's nobody in them. They're just, and there's a guy in there, or a gal, but mostly it's a guy in there, who looks like he just, he's scrunched down, he's looking at the phone, and you can tell, he probably doesn't have any license or anything, and he's gotten the phone from his friend, and he's hiding behind the steering wheel and scrunched down and basically stealing from everybody, and there's no in-car system like they do with the cabs. There's no in-car system to see who this person is, to have them punch in their ID number. That's another thing. There's no physical connection between
the phone and the car.
Let me say
something. If they think they're going to collect all of these taxes come January 1st for the MTA from black cars, they better have something in that car to know how many trips they're doing. Okay.
Yeah, it will be impossible to collect that without a good system, like a TPAP or something like a TPAP.
Because if they're going to rely on Uber to tell them how many trips they did, right? Uber can't be relied on to say anything. Okay. I mean, and I hope they've thought about that. I would imagine that they're intelligent enough to have thought of that. All right?
Yeah, unless they don't care.
I doubt it. I doubt they can even spell MTA, half those people working at MTA. But, you know, the other thing is, the token in 1996, I was telling you guys off the air, the actual physical little metal token in 1996 was $1.50. Right now, today, with the little plastic Metro card that you swipe, first of all, the plastic Metro card becomes garbage and goes into the environment. Destroys everything. And the other thing is, you can basically dog the hell out of a Metro card that you buy $32 a week on. If you pay $32 for a Metro card, and it's 24/7 for bus and train in New York City, basically, you can get like 40 or 50 rides per Metro card per week, a.k.a. 60 cents a ride. So 20 years ago, the MTA was actually getting a physical $1.50 a ride from the metal token. Today, they're lucky if they get 60 or 70 cents per ride from the weekly Metro card. So now they turn around and blame the cabbies and say, well, and that's what it's looking at. And the other thing they're not going to do, they're not going to tell the public what this $2.50 is for. They're going to make it seem like it's going in our pocket, which is not. And this flies in the face also of these people who say we don't need a fare increase. The MTA apparently saw that there's $2.50 a ride within the construct of the yellow cab fare that people wouldn't have a problem with to some degree. So they're basically stealing our money once again while the ignorant among us say we don't need a fare increase. That's my opinion, but it's disgusting to see that they're basically stealing our $2.50 a ride to give it to the MTA, which, and then the money goes God knows where. Nobody knows where this money is going, by the way. $400 million for what? To rebuild the Van Wyck 10 times? Ridiculous.
Well, let me just say this. Let me just throw this in there. I think the dumbest thing the MTA ever did was get rid of the tokens. Okay?
Correct.
Because
correct.
The tokens are reusable. Okay? Okay, mm-hmm. They're reusable.
Right, and you could speculate. Right. Remember when they would say there was going to be an increase? You could go out and buy a few $100 worth of tokens.
Well, yeah.
And hope they didn't change the design.
Well, that's okay. That's okay.
Yeah.
All right? But uh-huh. But the point is this. You know, the tokens are reusable. You know, whatever that yeah. plastic is on the MetroCard, okay, and people throw that in the garbage.
You have to because the cards okay. only last a month. Then
right.
they don't read.
Right.
And you have to throw them
and
away.
They have to keep buying thousands and millions of new cars.
Yeah, I buy a new one every month.
Yeah. Well, yeah. First the MTA has to buy those cards.
Right.
Okay? They don't fall out of the sky. All right?
Mm-hmm.
They have to, you know, they have to keep manufacturing them. Okay?
Right.
Whereas the tokens were reusable, and people use the tokens as cash in New York City. You know?
We can recycle
I used,
tokens.
Right.
Recycle,
I used to get paid. I used to get paid by my passengers with tokens.
Right. Yeah.
If you remember.
Right.
You know, they'd say, listen, I'm a little short on cash. Will you take a token? Okay? And I'd say, sure.
Yeah, yeah.
You know? I mean,
mm-hmm.
you know, it was just a dumb idea. They should refit their machines to take tokens, and if they want to give discounts, they could sell them one for $3, three for $8, or something like that.
I don't disagree with you, but I think what they're going to do is enable you to use your phone when you're passing through the turnaround.
Yeah, but what if you don't have a smartphone?
Well, they'll have to make some accommodation for those people. Maybe they'll give them cards. Oh, which brings us to another point. There's a large percentage of New York City's population is what they call unbanked. So they probably don't have a credit card.
Right.
Which means they can't take an Uber or a Lyft.
That's good.
Isn't that discriminatory?
It is.
Yep.
But they should have more of those
people.
I think
something like in the Bronx, I think 20% of the households don't have a credit card. I think I read that the other day.
I don't have a credit card.
You don't have
one? No, I don't have a credit
card.
That's why I have. That's why I'm able to live. I don't have to pay anybody more money than what I paid, what I bought something for.
I have two credit cards, which is kind of like the sign of the apocalypse. I mean,
I have debit cards.
I have credit cards, but I don't use
okay.
them.
Right.
But I do have them because if you need to rent a car or something, you need to have. You know,
right.
Or if you need to reserve a hotel room, how do you reserve a hotel room without a credit card these days?
I do it with a debit card.
I think that's more dangerous because if somebody gets into it, they can just wipe out your bank account.
Well,
you don't keep
much cash in that bank account.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, by the way, last night I was driving with a very good taxi medallion owner who I've been working with on the weekend lately. My credit card now is becoming 80-20. Cash is dying in the yellow cab business. And I have to say, folks, this business was built as the much hallowed cash business. It's not a cash business anymore, so that's another reason we need a fare increase, because if we're putting a lot more money on the books, like with the credit card number, we're going to have to start getting compensated. I would say we have to start giving the yellow cab industry at least about, between the drivers and the leasing, I'd say we have to generate another 45% of income just for the transition from cash to credit card, because it's on the books. You got to start straightening up and flying right if it's on the books, and right now it's gotten to the point where everything is credit card. And I'll tell you one thing, at Kennedy Airport, if I ever get my hands on the person who's telling these tourists to pay credit cards, I'm going to be very upset, because it used to be the tourists would come in and everything was cash, God bless them. And now we get these tourists saying, hey, how do you work at the credit card? I said, who's talking about the credit cards? He goes, the guy at the desk. I said, what guy at the desk? So
okay,
apparently,
listen.
There's some guy at the desk telling all the tourists to use credit cards. Let's check that out, you know.
Okay, enough with the credit cards, okay? I'm looking now at the main bill, which we should have done in the beginning.
Oh, wait, let's do one more thing. It says 1808, Brad Lander, setting minimum prices for hire vehicle driver services and setting rates of fare for hire vehicles. This bill would require the TLC to promulgate rules that set a price floor for services provided by for-hire vehicle drivers or independent contractors. The minimum amount that drivers must be paid for their service by the companies they contract with. This minimum price for the services would be set to ensure that FHV drivers earn an hourly income that is at least as much as the hourly income of yellow taxi drivers and is at least the minimum wage. This bill would also permit TLC to promulgate rules setting minimum fares for hire vehicles. So that's an important one, especially for ARB Desai, you know, who's worried about driver income and, you know, that stuff. So that's good for that.
Okay.
Let me just see. Did we miss any other ones before we get to 838? Yeah, we did.
What's 856. That?
856. What's that? Adonis Rodriguez, citing of for-hire vehicle bases. Did we do that one?
No.
To figure out possible adverse effects on the quality of life, traffic congestion, sidewalk congestion, parking noise, and the environment whenever a new or relocating black car base or luxury limousine base applies for a license to operate. It doesn't say anything about liveries. Interesting. Did we do all the other ones?
Well, the one we didn't do is 838, and this is the one that that addresses the new class of that they want the app-based cars.
I'm clicking on that one.
Okay, it says Administrative Code of the City of New York is amended by adding new subdivisions, FF, GG, and HH, to read as follows. FF, app-based for hire base. The term app-based for hire base means a commission-licensed business for dispatching app-based for hire calls. Okay? For hire vehicles. GG, app-based or for-hire service. The term app-based for-hire service means an individual partnership, limited liability company, or business corporation that offers transportation for-hire to passengers by pre-arrangement. Pre-arrangement. I'm going to say that three times.
Well, yeah, but as you pointed out many times, Abe, they never defined what that means.
Yes. Well, I know, but how about a definition of pre-arrangement?
Yeah.
Utilizing software that allows a passenger or prospective passenger to arrange for transportation of passengers for hire using a publicly available passenger-facing booking tool, including a smartphone or similar electronic device that allows the passenger to identify the location of available vehicles and allows the driver of the vehicle to receive a request for transportation from such passenger. The term app-based for-hire service includes an entity that operates under a single brand across multiple app-based for-hire bases, or which allows drivers from multiple app-based for-hire bases to operate on its platform to receive trip dispatches, reservations, or referrals. Let me continue. The term app-based for-hire service shall not include an entity licensed as and meeting all of the requirements of the term base station. Okay.
Which is liveries.
I see.
Livery bases are defined as base stations in the TLC rulebook.
Okay.
Like Star Trek.
So it should not include those cars. It says shall not include.
No, they're separating the app-based service cars service bases into a new category.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
As defined in subdivision T of the section, or an entity that owns, operates, or exclusively services medallion taxi cabs or street hail livery vehicles, as these terms are defined in section 5103 of the rules of the commission. I guess you got to read all of this.
I never heard of a base station operating yellow cabs, but maybe I've missed something. Do they call fleet garages base stations?
I don't know.
Okay, well look. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're listening to this, go to the NYC Taxi News, and on the upper left-hand corner of the front page is a link that will get you to all of these bills except a couple. What about the ones, Carolyn, that define territories? Wasn't that somewhere in there?
I don't don't think, you mean like that there'll be a range where a car can operate?
I read somewhere, it was in an article
in a magazine.
Yeah, I read somewhere online.
I don't see that in the rules.
The vehicles will be restricted from certain commercial locations.
That's just for the base to be. It's supposed to be in a commercial area. You can only have one base at each address, and you can't have 15 Uber bases in the Fauci building.
Okay, but aren't these vehicles aren't these vehicles obligated to serve the area which their base is?
Well, there's going to be a need for service for that area. Like, show me why you need 1,000 cars. You talk about
1,000 cars. The world famous Fauci building is promoted. First of all, the taxi commission leased all their office space. Leased, mind you, they didn't buy their own building. They went out and leased space in the world famous Fauci building, which nobody ever heard of before, in my opinion.
Right.
And you talk about a parking problem. There's little or no public parking for the thousands of vehicles that come to the world famous Fauci building. In the middle of nowhere, there's a parking lot. We have to pay about $14 or $15 around the corner, so that guy's the big winner. But everybody else has to double park and circle around the block. And the geniuses at the TLC, who is now being headed by, like I said, the lovely and talented chairperson Nosi, who's basically watched the medallion price plummet by 80% on her watch. She works in the Fauci building, and even in her own backyard, she's done nothing to provide parking services or anything for the drivers trying to do business at the taxi commission. So that's another thing. Let me just throw this in before I forget. With all these court things and rules and blah, 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 I'd like to say something about term limits for judges. You have judges deciding matters for the taxi and livery and blue car and black car and that people. You have some judges who have been on this bench for 20 years, for 30 years. That's not fair. That is not in the spirit of the law. It is against the spirit of the law. These judges hold on to these judgeships like the Pope now, and they've been appointed, and it's not fair in the spirit of the law because you have young people coming up through the legal system who want to become judges, and the judges apparently can stay there as long as they want, which I feel is an outrage. We have to get term limits for judges because now you have the mentality and the realities of a person who is from another era and another time, and speaking frankly, might be suffering from some dementia because of age or just like snowblind from doing stuff every day long. There's got to be a cap on the judge's term limits as far as maybe a judge, let that judge do it for 8 years or 10 years. You can't have these judges on the bench, on any bench in the United States legal system, being on that same bench for 20 years, 30 years, 40 years. I think that's discriminatory against their legal professional people, and it's against the public interest. And I think it's high time with all this political posturing, We start cracking down on the judges. And every time I see a weird decision come down, in my opinion, it's from a judge who's been there for 30 or 40 years, and you say to yourself, well, why is this person still there? So just it's kind of like outside the specter of what we're talking about, but at the same time, it's front and center of what we're talking about because a lot of times the industry and the legal people in our industry or the taxi commission make a pretty good law, and it's struck down by a judge who probably should have been out of there 10 years ago. So that's my little...
Yeah, it's interesting you say that, because I think sometimes the older judges are compensating for their age and their lack of knowledge on technology. So they tend to go too much on, the technology side. Like I was watching the appeals hearing. Todd Higgins was appealing a case in, was this federal court? I think it was federal court.
Yes, it was.
And he opened his mouth to speak, and he got about two words out, and one of the judges, who was old, immediately said, isn't this really about technology? As if you would even understand it, at your age. So they don't understand it, but then they just sort of glom onto it and take the easy way out and say, oh, it's about technology. But this isn't about technology. This is about 130,000 vehicles on the road. That's why the technology works so well. That's why you can get a car in a minute, because there's 10 of them on every block.
You're saying it's a defensive reaction
sometimes
for a judge to sound like, well, I know this already, and instantly dismissive of the case for fear of outing him or herself for their lack of...
Okay. Let me cut you guys off right here, okay, because I just want to
You want to get into the meat of Bill 838?
I mean, if you guys want to go out for a cup of coffee together and yap at each other, that's okay with me, all right? But
I'd like to get out of here in about 5 minutes later, too, because I'm right now...
I'm just going to read one more thing. No license shall be issued by the commission for a new app-based for-hire service unless the applicant has demonstrated to the satisfaction of the commission that such service, one, operates from a business address in a commercially zoned area within the city where such business can lawfully operate. No more than one app-based for-hire service license shall be issued to a single location at any given time. Okay, in other words, they're restricted one base per commercial
location.
Area.
You can't have 15 bases on 28th Street.
Right, or 15 bases on one block in South Brooklyn. Okay?
Right.
Mm-hmm. All right. Demonstrates to the satisfaction of the commission that a business need exist for such app-based for hire service. In other words, don't create a base in Jackson Heights somewhere, that's going to service places that aren't in Jackson Heights.
Right, and they have to figure out how it will affect existing public transit, neighborhood car services, existing black car services, taxi cabs, street deliveries, and other licensed app-based for hire service providers in that geographic area.
These are the most important parts of what's happening tomorrow, okay? Yeah. And provides a projection of the number of affiliated app-based for hire vehicles needed to deliver service as set forth in its business plan. And the average number of fares per vehicle that is anticipated will be provided by the service. There shall be a rebuttal presumption that there is no demonstrated need for new or additional service unless the average number of trips per app-based for-hire vehicle affiliated with the service exceeds 10 per day.
Well, most of them don't do that now.
Well, then they get rid of them. That those cars will be bye-bye. Okay?
Thank God.
Yeah. Okay,
so
Mike.
There'll be less bases, Mike. So each car will get more trips.
Okay, listen, everyone. Mm-hmm. Listen, everyone. There's a meeting tomorrow at the City Hall, City Council, on Broadway or Chamber Street. Everybody knows where it is. Okay?
Yeah.
And if you don't want the people that are against all of this, okay, to get in before you, get there at sunrise. Okay? All right, because word is that these people are going to line up and shut us out. Okay,
right.
This is what. Whether they will or not, I don't know. But let's protect what we have. Okay, we've paid millions and millions of dollars for our medallions. We've worked many years to pay them off. If some of us have, okay, and if you want a future. You got to protect what you have, all right? These other people are trying to steal it from you, okay? They've been stealing it from you, all right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Amen.
In our opinion.
Look at what the ex CEO of Uber did. Okay, the guy they threw out in the gutter. They threw him out in the gutter with $8 billion.
Now
okay.
He got $1.5 billion.
That'll teach him a lesson.
$1.4 billion. There's not a lot of difference between $1 billion and $8 billion. Okay, your life will be.
Wait. Yeah, let me just say one thing about the billions of dollars. He got, I think, what did he get, Carolyn? 1.9 or 2.4?
I thought it was 1.4, and he started a new venture that has nothing to do with cars. It's about real estate.
Well, here's the thing. Let's say if he got 1.4. This is a guy who was bragging about Uber being worth $60 billion or online.
Yeah.
So if he owned 30% of something that was allegedly worth $60 billion, shouldn't he have gotten $18 billion instead of $1.4?
Yeah, well, no, they wouldn't take all his shares. That offer was oversubscribed because everybody wanted to get out.
Okay.
Right. And a lot of the first rounders ran like rats.
Oh, yeah.
So
yeah.
It's all this, pardon the French, all this bullshit about Uber being worth $40 billion was outed when they threw out the founder.
That'll all come to fruition if they ever start selling stock publicly. Okay, what they're really worth.
Yeah.
All right. Okay.
Oh, one other thing about numbers. In one of the articles that came out in the last week or so, Uber said that they pay $100 million a year in sales tax to New York State. I don't know if that's for all their trips throughout the state or just New York City. But then we can figure out what their sales are. So maybe like $1 billion a year. Maybe they're doing less money per day, than we are.
Hold on,
All the trips and all the hoopla and all these drivers and 80,000 cars on the road, they're not doing as much money per day as we are.
I'm going to end this show with a little mathematics. What did you say? Did they pay it a year?
They said $100 million.
And what is the sales tax percentage?
It's almost 9%.
Okay, let's say 8.25, right?
No, it's more. It's more like 8.75.
Eight and three quarters. That's what sales.
So 8.25. 8.75x equals. Equals $100 million, you said?
Yeah.
$100 million. Okay. Okay, all you mathematicians out there, all you kids that flunked algebra in high school, right? 8.75x equals $100 million. Solve for x, and you'll know how much money they took in. Okay?
Right. It's less than we do.
If it's true.
Well, if they took in $100 million in state tax, on $1 billion revenue with 90,000 cars, that means these knuckleheads are doing like 10 or 15, let's say $12,000 a year average per car. So all this annoyance for all this mishmash, and the $100 million they could have sold 100 medallions when the medallion was $1 million to get the same money.
Right, just 100 more medallions. You're right. That's perfectly
ridiculous.
To look at it. Yeah,
all this chaos all this chaos for $12,000 per Uber car in New York, and they could have got the same money for selling 100 cabs. This is insane.
It is insane. It is absolutely insane. I think I may I'm going to bring this figure up in my testimony tomorrow.
Okay. Good. Okay. Good. Maybe next week we will do a follow-up show and talk about the meeting that will be taking place tomorrow. Okay? I'm ending this show now. Okay. All right, Mike has to go to work.
Good.
Okay, yep. I have to, you know, put the show up online. Okay, and Carolyn, you will be at the meeting tomorrow. We know that, Mike. Yes. We hope he'll be at the meeting, but
I hope he'll be at the meeting too. But I'll tell you one thing: I work tonight, so this is the problem with these people with these 9:30 meetings. This 9:30 meeting isn't exactly very friendly to the cabbies who will be bringing in people from Kennedy Airport and LaGuardia Airport on a Sunday night.
Right.
So this is discriminatory against night drivers.
You're right.
Okay.
I have to give TWA credit on this, because I know sometimes they have meetings at midnight, which is much better than drivers. But I think the reason they're doing it at 9:30 is because I think they expect this to go on all day.
Okay.
Right.
Everybody say good night, good afternoon, whatever.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Carolyn, we got people listening all over the world.
All right. Carolyn, thanks for coming on the show with us today.
Okay, thanks for having me.
And we look forward to discussing what went on tomorrow.
Right.
Okay.
Yes.
And Abe, I'm looking forward to when you, me, and Carolyn will have our long-awaited summit in an undisclosed location, and we can all sit down and get a blueprint for the future. How's that?
Well, if we meet halfway, it'll be in North Carolina.
I like barbecue.
Okay.
Barbecue, you're in the right place, yes.
Okay, good night, everyone.
Okay.
Goodbye.
Good night, world.
Okay,
see
bye,
you tomorrow.
Guys.
Okay.
I like to say good night to Chairperson Nosy, and thank you for keeping me thin. I appreciate that.
And Taxi Dave, if you're listening, we want you back on the air.
Yes.
You got to get back on the air, Taxi Dave. He's the man.
Okay.
You're welcome to our little show here, too, Taxi Dave.
Okay, with the next click of my mouse, this show ends. Bye-bye.